Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Right, folks, so I'll start my videos. Now, this video's a little bit different. Unky Steve's in it, as you have seen from the thumbnail and the thumb title. Unky Steve is in it. I don't really know how to say about this video, because I'm not normally lost for words. I normally say what I like, and I like what I say, and all that. So what I'll do is I'll just explain what's happened. In October 2020, during the COVID, whatever you want to call it, during COVID, I actually got over to see Sue and Steve. The restrictions were lifted. You could go and see somebody indoors. And I went over and I recorded a podcast with Steve. If you notice at the top of the screen on my YouTube channel, there is a cartoon work of me and Steve. I don't know what the fuck I look like, but Steve, it looks quite good. So anyway, that was the whole idea, is that I was going to do the VPI podcast, visually impaired podcast, but call it the VIP, for very important person. Anyway, I got over to see Steve, and we recorded two podcasts. And we did them. And anyway, when I got back, we decided the quality of the camera wasn't that good. The quality of the picture wasn't that good. So the idea was is that I was going to go back over to see Steve, and we was going to record it again on my new Canon G7X, right? This camera here is the whole reason why I've got a G7X, because of the poor quality I did with Steve. And anyway, when you do these things, when you make these videos, you never plan for somebody to actually die. You never actually plan that we get plunged into another lockdown. You never actually plan that the government and the media tell everybody what they do, and some people are scared and some people are not scared and whatever, right? And we never got chance to make the video again. We never got chance to do the podcast again. And when Steve died, he had a massive heart attack. We did a little clip, and thanks to Brian, right, True Geordie, they put a little clip out of one of the funny moments that Steve laughed at. He thought it was hilarious, absolutely fucking hilarious, but they didn't realise he was blind. And anyway, Elliot said, "Have you still got the podcast? We'll put it out." And no, I didn't. I didn't have the podcast. And I was absolutely gutted. I'd ran out of space on my MacBook. And because you always do think, you think that you'll always do it. You'll always think that you'll get round to record it. And I never did. Never did get to record it. Then the other day, I was looking. For some reason, I went and got the camera out that Elliot gave me, and there was a memory card in it. Took the memory card out, put it in the MacBook, and it's there. The podcasts. Fuck knows how, but the podcasts are there. So I'm going to load them up, and you will watch them if you want to watch them. It's a bit weird. I've watched it, and yeah, it's just weird. It's fucking weird. I've watched Steve on other videos we've made together, and yeah, it's all right. But this one is—it's like some kind of Lost Dad's Army episode. So I've got the two. Well, I've got two. I've watched one. I've edited it. I've put it all together. Well, I've not edited. What I've done is I've just left it. I'm not editing it. I'm just leaving it. I'm just joining them all together and putting them out there. So yeah, welcome to the VIP podcast. Something that you weren't supposed to see, but now I found it. That's recording. And that's recording.
Sure. I
text it. There you go, Steve. You hold that, and I'll start the thing here. Right.
Cheers.
I'll do the old clap again.
Go on, then.
Right, folks. We are here. This has been something we've been wanting to do for a while, isn't it, Steve?
Yes, it's about the beginning of the year, probably.
I suppose, really, I should introduce you, though, because this could be a new thing to people. Well, it will be a new thing to people that they haven't got a clue what's going on. This is Unky Steve. I'm Blue Van Man, and we, many months ago, we did a video of your life, didn't we?
We did a bit of a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was going to be something that was going to continue. But Elliot decided, he says, oh, that'd be a good idea to actually do it as a podcast. So I've bought the microphone and all that kind of thing, and I've wrote a few questions down. We were going to do it, but all of a sudden, this situation that's happening in the world put the kibosh, something like that, it knackered it up. So I was going to come round and see Steve in March, it never happened. We are now in October, mate.
We are.
So we've had to wait a long time for this. So this is it, folks. This is the Visually Impaired Podcast number one. What we're going to do, we're going to take a bit of a walk through your life, aren't we, mate?
So we say.
I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you're going to tell us a few things about your life experience. Right, let me just go through my questions, because I'm very amateur at this. I'm very grateful for Steve letting me do this, because I do quite like the idea of doing podcasts, but Steve's letting me use him as a guinea pig. Do you squeak like a guinea pig? That's it. Yeah. There you go. Right, so when I do a video, a YouTube video, I do say for the visually impaired, and that was like a little bit of a cope between me, Steve, and Auntie Sue, weren't it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, because we are it.
Yeah, you're obviously impaired, aren't you?
Yeah, never been able to see anything. Nothing. Yeah. Zilch.
Yeah. And people say to you, why do you say for the visually impaired they can't watch it? But you've got to include people, haven't you, of all kinds of,
absolutely,
you know, lifestyles and stuff. So, we'll start with a few questions then, and you know, I think what it is, mate, people are basically curious,
yeah, of course,
of a blind person's life. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're being nosy, you know, this is stuff that we've already said before in the other video we did,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just curious. It's like this world now of the Big Brother world, isn't it, where people see it on people's lives. Mm. But what are your disabilities then, mate, as such?
Me? I am totally blind. I have been since I was a baby. I've got malfunction eyes. That's why people think I'm like half all high all the time, or
yeah,
been taking stuff, but I haven't. It's something to do with the malformation of the retina and the optic nerve at the back of my eye. Never developed properly, so I'm sort of like disconnected from the world of vision. I've also got a bone condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, which is a posh way of saying brittle bones are fracture easily. Okay, so I've had numerous fractures, numerous surgery. I'm full of pins and plates and screws and God knows what.
You like Barry Sheen, ain't you?
I'm a bit like Barry Sheen.
Barry Sheen was a motorbike racer back in the 70s and 80s. And
you have to tell people, don't you? Because they don't know.
Well, you
all these young kids, they don't know.
This is it, yeah. I mean, I'm in my 50s now. And like, we're talking to somebody at work about something the other day. They didn't have a clue what I run about.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's it, basically. So, you know, since I was born, no sight. They didn't discover about the bone condition till I was 2, when I did a spectacular fracture of in 2 places on Christmas Eve, would you believe? Well,
fucking Santa kicked him, didn't
it? Yeah, he wasn't very happy that night, Santa.
Yeah.
So that's when it all started, really, and that's when they realised that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
In that department as well.
All right. So, how long are you? I take it then when you break something, you're in plaster a bit longer than normal people.
Yes.
You're like some kind of X-Man, ain't you?
Yeah. It does take a fair while to heal.
Can I just make sure this is recording, mate? Because I'd hate to. Yeah, we're still recording. Good stuff. Yeah,
I'll say that again because when you did that, then it will go.
Yeah, it will, won't it?
Recording, so take 2 for that. Yes, it does take longer to heal. I think you've got another member of the Blue Van Army, is Oliver.
Yes.
Who's also got the same condition as myself.
Oliver Pengilly.
Yeah, and another lad as well has got the same condition. And yes, we do. We take longer to heal. So
is there any special kind of medicine or tablets you can take to
help strengthen you? It's a genetic flaw,
yeah,
which causes this, and you know, you have it from birth. I mean, you know, there are different severities of this condition, and at the worst end, people don't survive being born,
yeah,
because they're so fragile that they just, well, basically smash themselves to bits.
Well, you're coming out of a small hole, aren't you, when all said and done?
Yeah.
You know, and it must compact. I mean, babies' bones aren't the strongest. Well, they are. The more pliable, ain't they?
Yes, the more pliable, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sort of at the top end of the scale, if you like. There are people far worse than me, but
yeah,
I've had my fair share of fractures. You know, I'm in a chair these days. I'm in a wheelchair these days. I've broken arms, legs, spine, collarbone,
yeah,
wrist, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, I've had my fair share.
Yeah, I don't know. So moving on to your vision, or rather lack of it then, you can't see lights or shadows or colours or anything like that?
No light perception. No feedback at all from that part of me. I mean, my eyes, I do feel them. I've got sensation there. I mean, if you poke me in the eye, I wouldn't like it. Or if I got an eyelash in my eye, you know, or
dust in
anything,
your eye,
salt water or anything, I would get the same feedback as you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, I can only speak for myself. I can only speak for how I perceive things and how I feel about it. Someone else who'd got more vision or whatever would say something slightly different. So when I speak about me, when I generalise, you know, I'm just speaking how I find it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, because people say, well, surely you can see something. Surely you can see grey or black or something. Surely there's something there. And the answer to that is no, there isn't. It's a little bit like seeing out of your ears. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Or it's like that. So I'm not in a world of darkness. I'm in a world of nothingness when it comes to vision.
Yeah.
So even if you put a blindfold on, it wouldn't be like it for me. Because I imagine you would still see something if you put a blindfold on. You would still get a visual feedback, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, even if I close my eyes now, I can still wave my hands, and I can't see my hands, but I can see like a change of shade or a shade of pattern or something that I can register.
Yeah.
Where you don't even.
No.
I mean, people obviously probably think, oh, you must see black.
No, you don't.
Well, yeah.
Personally, as I say, I can't emphasise enough that I'm talking about myself.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Joe, who lives up the road, who you may know, who can't see, because Joe up the road might have been able to see. He might have a tiny bit of vision. He might have light and dark perception, which means he knows if there's a light on or if there's a light off, or whether it's sunny outside or whether it's dull and cloudy. But that's him. Mm. It isn't me.
Yeah.
There are some people who've got different abilities in being able to see. There are some people who've got tunnel vision, where it means they've only got sight in the centre.
Yeah.
Of the spectrum, rather than being able to look at the sides or see what's going on at the side. There may be other people who are totally different. You know, there's a big spectrum out there.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking about being blind, I'm talking about Steve. I'm not talking about anybody else. I mean, Sue, when I first met Sue, when she was a teenager, she could see light and dark quite well.
Mm.
But gradually it's faded, and now she's sometimes a little uncertain as to whether the light's on or off.
Yeah.
You know, because you see, well, you've got to understand that just because you've got a bit of light perception, it doesn't mean to say you're immune from ageing eye conditions. Like, you may get cataracts, you may get macular degeneration, you may get some other eye problem, which dims the bit that you've got already. You're not immune from other things.
I suppose it's like, if you're not using it, you lose it. Is it that kind of thing? I don't know. It's I use my eyes all the while, and my eyesight's going absolutely shocking at the moment.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, fucking glasses and shit like that. But when was your early memory then of this? Did you realise? How old were you when you realised that there was you were different?
I was different. Mm. That's a very good question, and I don't really know the answer to it.
Yeah. I suppose it's like when did you first start to talk?
Yeah.
And I can't remember.
I suppose I was aware that because my relatives, because. I used to come from a big family, lots of uncles and aunties, because my mum had 8 brothers and sisters, and my dad had a fair few as well. So there was a lot of us. And what they used to do, I do distinctly remember, they used to try and catch me out.
Yeah.
They used to try and catch me out to see if I could see them.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, like, come really close to you.
Yeah.
And not say anything. But what they didn't realise was that Stevie was quite cute.
Yeah.
And I could smell them or sense them or something like that, you know. But I really don't know, David, when I first realised.
Well, that leads me on to another question, because I can remember we were watching, I was watching True News with Brian, and he'd got us on a thing, on a clip, and they actually mentioned about your senses, your other senses being sharper, and you have actually told me this before, but for the people who are listening to the podcast and that, so the question is, are your other senses sharper to compensate for you being blind?
Not necessarily.
Well, the answer you gave me the first time was fucking funny.
Really?
Yeah.
But what I will say is that you obviously learn to use your hearing at a greater intensity than someone who can see all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe if you gave me a hearing test, maybe your ears would be better than mine on a scope, right?
Yeah.
But what you wouldn't have is the ability to know what people are doing.
Yeah.
From the noises or from the sounds around you.
Right.
You know. And I would say that some people's hearing is really acute. But if you've been blind since you were a kid or very soon after, you do get to know the sound that things make.
Yeah.
And you get to you get used to the sound of objects or machinery or whatever it happens to be.
Well, I can remember me and my sister when we used to try and creep into the room. Mm. And you say you sound you basically said you sound like an elephant, and you know, or Sue would say you sound like a herd of cows walking through because me and my sister were like trying to creep.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we weren't being nasty or anything.
No,
like
just a
we
game.
Were just a game that you know, that,
just a game
to keep keep them pair quiet.
Yeah. I mean, Sharon, your sister, she used to her favourite when she was about 7 or 8 was to put things in a brown paper bag.
Yeah,
and say what is it? Not let us put our hands in.
Yeah.
Just on the outside, and she could never understand
how
we knew what something was.
It was like magic, wasn't it? It was like someone like Paul Daniels. He can pull something out. Well, he can't now because he's dead. But, you know, a magician can do something. Dynamo can do something. And it was like we give you a toy cow.
Yes,
you
would, in a
bam bam, and you would know, and you're thinking, how does that happen? Because he doesn't know what a cow looks like. Obviously, you might have felt it, and I suppose it's done from memory.
Yeah.
But it was just quite good how you could do it.
Yeah, it'd be something like a brush comb or something.
Yeah.
Like, or, I don't know, anything you like. Like you say, a toy animal or a car.
Yeah.
A dinky in a brown paper bag. We weren't allowed to put our hands in it.
Yeah.
Because that would have been too obvious. But it's miraculous that you could tell what it was from feeling it on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, because you people would know, the people out there in the BVM land would know that it's... We know what a car feels like. We know what a cow feels like. Well, not a real life. Well, I suppose you would know. But a toy cow. And then, so you'd have an idea. But if somebody to not have seen it at all...
Yeah, so you do get used to these little tricks and... you know, you can tell whether someone's sitting down or standing up because the voice is higher up.
Yeah.
You can tell whether someone's lounging about.
Yeah.
Or whether they're sort of like alert, awake, you know.
Yeah.
You can tell whether someone's... Have you ever noticed that you can tell... When somebody's like smiling, right? When somebody's being humorous and they're joking, but they're not actually laughing.
Yeah.
But it's just the tone of voice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Sort of you can pick it up, can't you?
Yeah.
Right, we're back again, folks. I think I've changed my camera to 15-minute settings because people keep banging on about it.
Okay.
We'll start it again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I can. I don't even know where that finished then, to be fair.
But we'll
be all right. Yeah. I know. I've been keeping an eye on it, so I know.
But you do get used to it, you know. You must realise that I've been like this ever since I was born, so I don't know any different.
No.
But you do get used to the sounds and the environment and the things around you.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is, are our senses better?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. It's like, you know, like a sense of smell. Again, you learn... and you can get a lot of information from when you're out and about, smells and stuff like that. That's how people navigate sometimes when they're walking with a guide dog or when they're walking with a long cane.
Right.
You know.
So, fair play.
Next question.
So what, obviously we all need an education and, you know, to work our way through this thing that we call life.
Mm-hmm.
So what age did you start school and what school did you go to? What kind of school was it? Was it just your normal school or something like that? No.
These days it would be totally different these days, but I'm talking in the 1950s when I became of school age. I started out, because of my brittle bone condition, I started out by having what they used to call a home teacher, who was basically what you would call them now is a social worker, but a specialist social worker, who was taught how to teach blind kids.
Mm.
She was blind herself, actually. She was a bit of a...
Really?
Yeah, she was a bit of a local celebrity, if you
like. Oh, right, so she could have been on YouTube back in the day.
Well, she could well have been, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So she taught me the rudiments of Braille. And she taught me the rudiments of maths. But eventually, like all kids of my generation, we had to go away to boarding school.
Right.
So at the age of 7, I was shipped off to Shropshire. That's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Shipped off to Shropshire. Yeah, well, you've done well there to say that without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now say it when you're thinking about it. Ship shop.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. For anyone who knows that area, it was near Wellington, it was near Telford, at a place called Overley Hall, which was on the A5, I believe. And I think to this day it's still some sort of specialist school, but it's not for the blind. I think it's for other purposes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I went, first of all. You know, nothing like being 80 miles away from home, is there?
No.
So, yes, I went there with a lot of other blind kids.
So all kids that were blind then, did they all descend onto this this school like some kind of Harry Potter thing, or was
it, well,
was it like say most of the kids in the country went there, or was it just in a certain 50 mile radius?
Yes, there were quite a few of these establishments in the day, and so they used to, I don't know, the catchment area. Probably East and West Midlands, probably a little bit into Wales, because they were very near the border there.
Yeah.
So, yes. And it wasn't a pleasant experience.
I was going to say, what was it like? I weren't a big fan of school. I was bullied a few times and I weren't happy there, and I just fucking hated it, really, until I got to a certain age. So how was it for you? I mean,
I've forgotten a lot of it. I think I've chosen to forget a lot of it. I do remember certain things. I do remember being lonely, bewildered.
Yeah.
Why am I here? What's all this about then? You know, because, up until then, I'd been at home with my mum and dad and your brother.
Yeah.
My
dad.
Hulk
Hogan.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, one afternoon, I was transported to Shropshire.
Yeah. Because, when I went to school, you actually had a couple of hours or a week there to get you used to it, or you would have the thing called fourfold now, or play school, or some kind of preschool. Yeah. I mean, suppose you never had that. You were just like, pack your cases, you're gone.
The workplaces like that you're describing. I know people who were sent away from home at the age of 2. Can you imagine sending a 2-year-old to boarding school?
That's how some people are, though, isn't it? The richer, the more wealthier upper class. Did it happen to Prince Charles and all that? Didn't he get shipped off?
He did get shipped off. But these were people who, I'm sad to say, didn't necessarily have a good home life.
Oh, right.
Because not everyone likes the idea of having a disabled child, and sometimes they would ship their kids off to these.
So basically, get rid of the. In Blue Van Man talk, get rid of the embarrassment.
Yes, get rid of the embarrassment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I know people who've been away since they were 2. I was lucky, I escaped till I was 7, but I did go eventually.
Well, let's face it, Granny was never embarrassed of you, was she?
No.
You were like the. the wonderful son.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. Well, naturally, of course I was. But, most people went to school when they were 5. Sue went to school when she was 5, not the school I was originally at, but she did go at 5 years old.
Yeah.
So did most blind kids of that generation. Now, it's totally different. There are very, very, very few schools for the blind, and if some of your Blue Van Man army are young enough, they may well have seen units in normal schools, sighted schools for VI people. They may have special teachers in, but very, very few of them go away. There are some exceptions. There's a school in Worcester called Worcester New College, and that is the creme de la creme.
Right.
That is for the really, really bright kids,
yeah,
male and female. And it's the equivalent of a blind grammar school. And they, yeah, go, and they're very academic, and they learn all sorts of stuff, and then go on to university, and then...
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Just because you're blind doesn't mean you're thick.
No.
Does it? It doesn't mean you can't do anything. I mean, you know... Well, just off the top of the head, Stevie Wonder. You know
exactly
what I mean? You know, oh, he's blind. What can he do? Well, give him a piano and he can bloody show you how to play it.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles,
Jose
Feliciano,
yeah,
Placido Domingo, I think.
They're opera singer, isn't
they? Yeah.
Didn't he sing down Leicester when they won the league?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I do take some things in.
I think it was him anyway, you got me thinking now. Anyway, whoever it was.
Yeah, because Claudio let him out, didn't he?
Yeah, it may not be him, but... whoever it was that sang when Leicester won the Premiership, it's him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are some very, very, very clever blind people. There are blind people who are lawyers.
Yeah.
There are blind people who are mathematicians, physiotherapists, all sorts of stuff. I'm not that clever.
Yeah. No. Just well, you are, Steve. To be fair, because you, I mean, we'll touch on it. You on things that you did.
Yeah.
You know.
On another occasion.
Silly question this, but how did Granny feel? How did she take, not how did she feel, I bet she was getting heartbroken sending you away, but how did she deal with having to send you away?
I think they found it very difficult.
Yeah.
I think all the family found it very difficult. I didn't find out until many, many years later, maybe within the last, well, she's been dead 5 years now, but maybe only about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, she just suddenly came out with, she was here, she just suddenly came out with, I felt really guilty.
Yeah.
I think I felt that it was my fault.
Yeah, she said that to me once about, you know, when I used to go down there and have my dinner?
Yeah.
She always said that she felt guilty for what had happened.
Yes.
And I don't know really why, because...
No.
It's not as though Granny used to do drugs, drink, smoke,
and have
a wild
life.
No,
she felt. Yeah. But I think quite a few parents of disabled kids do have this guilt thing. And I just sort of, I was taken aback, to be honest, and I sort of said, you know, don't be daft, I don't blame you.
No.
She said, well, it's all right, for, you know, but I do feel guilty that you have the disabilities you have, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, you needn't, you know, please don't feel like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite a common thing.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, when things do go wrong, you do feel the guilt of certain things, even if it's just like, I mean, I walked into June the other day, we were in the kitchen, and I just walked, now, I'm quite a fat lad, right? And she walked into me, I wasn't looking where I was going, she wasn't looking where, and she just basically bounced off me.
Yeah.
And went flying. And you know, you're just like, now I know that's an extreme way of saying feeling guilt, but you think, oh God, sorry June, I'm trying to pick her up off the floor.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, anything that goes wrong isn't really your fault, is it, sometimes?
No,
you know,
of course it isn't. But to think that she thought that it was her fault, that, you know, for all those years she was blaming herself for me, so to speak, that, you know, that she must have done something that caused me to be blind or caused me to have the bone condition. It's just fate.
Well, I mean, you know, 60 odd years ago, what could she have done that was different?
Nothing.
It's just, you know,
nothing.
It's happens, doesn't it? And you know, and
it's like people who've got cerebral palsy children or people with learning difficulties, you know.
Just changing the subject. Have you seen Anthony? Do you watch Anthony on YouTube, the lad who I did the podcast with?
He's fucking
brilliant.
Yeah, I can't remember he's the kid with cerebral palsy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
There's Anthony. He's been dealt these cards in his life and he's getting on and he's trying to do the best he can.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if his parents feel guilty about him.
It'd be interesting to know.
It would
be
interesting.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And I suppose in a way it's looking for a reason, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's looking for something to blame, if you like. So it must have been something that they did.
Yeah. I didn't eat enough carrots or I didn't drink enough milk.
I didn't have my cod liver oil or, you know.
I wonder if I... Yeah, so...
You know.
which is quite sad, really, isn't it?
It is. You know, but I was really shocked, and I, you know, it really did get to me to think that she'd been carrying that around with her for all those years and never actually voiced it. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
But there you go.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do, mate, I'm going to stop this video because it's coming up to 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'm going to set it and try and make it a bit longer so I ain't got to do this again.
Right.
So we'll leave that thing running. I want to stop this. Roll. Right, we're back, folks. I've messed about with the camera. Yeah. You going all right with this, mate? Are you?
Yeah,
talking good stuff.
I sidetracked you a little bit. Shall I just carry on a little bit more about... education, etc., because I got a bit sidetracked with...
go for it, mate. You go for it.
Yeah, well, I went to this school in Shropshire for a little while, but then I ended up with a fracture. Okay, so I had a fracture...
you just wanted to get out of school, didn't you?
Yeah, probably. Quite probably easy. About a couple of years later. And I was... my time there had come to an end.
Yeah.
So then I was in hospital... having this fracture sorted out, but eventually the letter came through the door to say, dear Steve's mum, Blue Van Man's grandma. We've arranged for your son Stephen to go to Rushton Hall near Kettering. In Northamptonshire, which again is another residential school. So I was packed off there. This was about 1962, January 62. Okay, and I remember that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I was only about seven when I went to the other
day. Yeah. I suppose in a way you're a bit like an evacuee during the war.
Well, actually, yeah. Yeah, I wonder why people kept coming up reading the label around my neck saying, hello, George, and say,
called Paddington.
I've put the wrong bloody label on again. But I remember that one better.
Yeah.
It was, again, obviously a school for blind kids, but they'd also got other disabilities as well. They'd got all sorts of stuff. They'd got... cerebral palsy, they'd got brittle bones like me, they'd got epilepsy, they'd got learning difficulties, they'd got behavioural problems. So it was a right mishmash. In fact, to be quite honest, I don't quite know how I survived. I think I survived by sort of like shutting myself down in a way.
Yeah.
And only doing and interacting with the people that I wanted to. Yeah.
You make it sound a little bit like a victim of crime. You know how you cherry pick the little bits you want to keep, or
I suppose right. Yeah, I do remember a lot about it.
Yeah,
and it wasn't all bad, you know.
So as you got older at school, things got easier and things got better
because you began to understand a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was there for a couple of years. Then I went to back to Shrewsbury again.
Yeah.
To another school in Shropshire.
That was the clock. For the people on the podcast, that's the clock.
Yes, that's the clock saying it's whatever time it
is. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, that's it. So back to Shropshire, back to a residential school for the blind in a place called Condover, which was a little village. Some of your subscribers may know where Condover is. There was a school for the blind there. And again, you know, life continued. Stayed there a couple of years, then another move to a school in Worcestershire, near the Austin Morris, as it used to be, near Longbridge, called Leaky Grange, which was the...
that sounds a great place.
..actual home of Lord Austin. Yeah. Leaky Grange, yeah. There's an actual place near there, David, called Leaky End.
Ooh. It so, just gets better.
It just gets better, doesn't it? Yeah. And it's still there, and I think some of your subscribers, because they've mentioned it.
Yes, they have, haven't they? On another video I did.
It's now a gated community. It's now a very, very, very posh housing estate. Hey, look, he's in demand, the old lad.
Shut up! Ah! Get off, bloody phone!
Yeah, I'm quite expecting mine to go any minute.
Yeah.
So I was about 14 by this time.
Yeah.
And that was just a step up. it was a school simply for the blind, no other disabilities really apart from me. They took a big risk with me, you know, with my history of fractures and stuff. And that was, I began to enjoy it then.
So you joined the rugby team, the football, the cricket?
Absolutely, of course I did, yeah, till I broke my leg again.
Yeah.
But joking apart, no, I began to actually enjoy it, because it wasn't all grim. I mean, can you imagine, you were a group of lads and girls in a residential school. You had lots of off time, you know, when the, you know, you used to do a normal school day, so the rest of the time you were left to your own devices, basically, to press about and be stupid.
Yeah.
And we did.
Sorry. So did you, was the education, did, I mean, were they trying to set you actually up for life, or were they just trying to, so they, their idea was, you go to school, you leave school, you get a job, you look after yourself, or was it just, well, we'll teach you,
Yes, it was a little bit like that in those days, yeah, we'll teach you what we think you ought to know.
Yeah.
We did the usual curriculum, we did, you know, geography, history, maths and all the rest of it, what they used to call domestic science, which was basically learning how to cook. We used to do woodwork, we used to do all sorts of stuff. We used to do religious education, that was a good laugh. We used to do music, because, you know, some blind kids are very musical.
Yeah.
Ask me if I play anything.
Well, what do you play? I'll tell you, it's easy to say what you don't play, isn't it, in a way?
Well, yeah, I mean, not these days, but I have got pianos. I've always loved pianos. I'm a bit out of practice now.
And this ain't just playing chopsticks, you know, he can actually play full-blown on music.
Drums, I've always been fascinated with drums, so drum kits and stuff.
Guitars,
guitars,
you?
Yeah.
Do you play a wind instrument?
Only my bum. no. Well, if you can call, recorder. Yeah, I used to do recorder.
Yeah, you used to record, didn't you?
Yeah, that's how I met Sue, because she was at school with me.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, how did you meet Sue?
At this school. In Worcestershire, near the Austin Morris Works. If anybody really does know it, it's on Rose Hill. So if anybody knows that area, as I say, it's now a very, very posh private apartments, about £1 million each, because they converted the thing, because the school closed down, and they you know, it's a very, very desirable address now.
Mm.
So
I'll tell you what, that'd be good if we could take you there, Steve, you know, and wheel you around and back on your old stomping ground.
Well, yeah, a friend of mine did try that. He did get as far as the gates, but they wouldn't let them in. But so it's the place, you know, it's a very, very desirable address. So yes, we did music, we did all sorts of stuff.
So they actually made school time enjoyable. It wasn't just
No, I mean, we did used to mess about. Can you imagine? You were bored. You'd do stupid things like, I don't know, the usual traditional things like take somebody's footboard off the bed and just leave it propped there so that when they sat on it or lay on it, the old bloody thing collapsed on the floor. Putting all sorts of things. Buckets of water on tops of doors.
Yeah.
All sorts of stupid things.
So really then, things that you, if anything happened to you, people would look frownly on, but you were doing it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
But they were very good, I must say. I met some friends there who I'm still very, very close to now.
Yeah.
And they really did help me, because I was the only person there with a secondary disability.
Yeah.
And I did have one or two accidents there, and I did have one or two fractures, and they looked after me royally, you know, especially a couple of people who I'm still very friendly with now.
So you were in it all together.
And I wouldn't have survived without them, you know, because I did wear calipers on my legs, you know, so that I could actually walk. I could never walk properly.
Yeah.
Right from a very early age, right from two when I first bust my leg.
Yeah.
I never did walk again properly. No. But if it wasn't for those people, they, you know, I would have found it really.
Yeah, because I tell you what, mate. You, in a way, I mean, people. I mean, you know, the mental health issues are quite a big issue nowadays, and rightly so. You know, some people are really struggling. What with whatever's happening in the world at the moment, people are struggling. Mm. Did you ever have mental issues? Did you, you know, mental health issues, or did you sometimes think, oh fucking hell, what's happening there?
Not really. I'm sort of a pretty. I'm a pretty bit laid back, really. I do worry about things sometimes. You know, I do. I won't say that I'm happy-go-lucky all the time, and that I think, oh yeah, it's lovely. You know, I enjoy not being able to walk, and you know, this being able, not being able to see, it's not that bad, really. It bloody is. It's horrible. But I just, you can't do anything about it, so you get on with it.
Yeah.
And you just.
I think we've got pretty much the same outlook of life of. There's no point in worrying about it. What will be will be.
Yeah, but I do worry sometimes. You know, I don't.
Mm. Well, if you didn't, you wouldn't be human,
would
you?
Well, no, but I don't really let it get to me too much. You know, and that's why people sort of like say, "Well, you're always cheerful and all that." You don't know what's going on in my head.
No.
No. You know. You can't do anything about it, so just get on with it. Yes, you know, just.
I know what you mean. Right, I've got a massive question now for you, real big one. While you're at school, right, big thing to my heart. Uh-huh. What were the school dinners like?
Not bad.
Hmm.
Not bad. They were quite.
Did you have a good choice?
I can't remember. No, don't be daft. No choices. You just had what you were given, mate.
Fucking prison slop.
I can't remember overly. I can't remember when I was seven.
Yeah.
Except I do remember, and they would go mad these days. You know, the lawyers would go mad. I remember they did used to make you eat stuff you didn't like. And I hated, with a vengeance, macaroni cheese. It's disgusting. I still hate it.
Have you ever tried putting salad cream on it?
I wouldn't even touch it with salad cream. No. It's just something, the texture of it and the memory of being able to, being forced to eat it. And they used to do something really horrible. They used to, if you didn't eat it for your dinner, they used to literally take it away, put it in a cupboard, come tea time, guess what you'd got?
Oh, joking.
I'm not. And you would eat it.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I remember about Overley Hall when I was seven.
Yeah.
The other school's not bad at all. In fact, the school near Bromsgrove, it wasn't bad at all. Quite nice. And they did introduce this privilege, if you like, of once a week, a class of kids were allowed to choose the dinner.
All right.
For the whole school. So
they would pick macaroni cheese for you?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it used to be either curry and chips, believe?
Yeah. Or chicken curry.
Yeah, chicken curry and chips. Or what was the other one that everybody used to like? Steak.
All right.
And they did used to do it, and they were very good.
Oh, cool.
But the breakfast, because remember, it wasn't just school dinners, it was school breakfast, school dinner.
Everything,
school
weren't
tea,
it?
School supper.
So you had a supper as well?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a supper. It was probably a slice of bread with some bread and dripping on it, and a cup of
lukewarm milk or something.
Well, drinking chocolate or something like that.
Mm.
But I will tell you something funny. That school was the only school where you could actually walk down, because it's scattered. The buildings were scattered. Yeah. So you'd be walking to the dining room, right, and you'd smell this smell, and you'd think, ooh, it's egg and chips, right? When you got into the dining room, it would be a plate of salad, and the chicken, the egg and chips smell came from the staff. They were having.
Oh.
So you would have salad.
You'd have their salad.
Which was a bit of a disappointment.
Oh, I bet. The bastards, eh?
But on the whole, the
And I love school dinners in a way.
Yeah.
In the end, I thought they were really good. Well, Granny used to cook them, didn't she?
Well, she did, yes, she did.
Not for you, but for other kids.
Yeah, for other kids.
And she'd come home, when we go over the weekend, she'd have like a big tray of sponge pudding.
Yeah.
be great.
Yeah, they'd have got sacked if they'd have known, you know. They weren't allowed to do that.
Were they?
Supposed to do. No.
What, Granny broke the law?
Yeah, would you? Well, her cousin was the chief supervisor of the kitchen, so she used to come home with all this stuff. Exeter stew, right? Chicken fricassee, which was like chicken in a white sauce.
Yeah.
Like you say, desserts. I hated blancmange and I still do, so you could keep that. But yeah, she used to bring this stuff. But they would have got the sack if they'd have been found out.
Well, I never knew that. I never knew Grandma broke the law.
Yeah, she did. Would you believe it?
She's as bad as the craze.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I don't know. Granny, I thought better of her than that.
Oh, yeah.
So what we'll do there, mate, we'll leave your school life alone for a second or two, or till the next one. So how are you coped with this illness, this virus going on? How are you and Sue coped?
We've coped so far okay. We're still highly careful, of course, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what's going on, and I really don't. I wish they'd make their minds up and, you know, say one thing and stick to it.
Yeah.
What I can't understand, what really annoys me, is the devolution. You know, the Wales, the Scotland, the England, with all the different rules and all the different regulations. I mean, you know, why? I think it's the time will come when we'll have one set of rules.
Yeah.
Because it's so confusing. Apologies to any Welsh or Scottish viewers or listeners or whatever you'd like to say, but it is very, very confusing.
Right, back again. Snap, clap. Is that still recording, Steve? Just move your finger away. Yeah, that's it. We're still recording there.
Okay.
Right then, mate. We'll leave your... I've screwed this up. So, mate, we'll leave that there, your school life for a bit, and we'll say... well, I'm going to ask you now, how are you getting on with COVID, mate? How's this...
Well... It's very confusing, Dave. It's very confusing. I think everybody in the country is really confused by it. It wouldn't be so bad if they didn't change their mind every 5 minutes. I mean, I haven't heard the news since about, I don't know, 11:30, but I'll bet you by the...
Yeah,
it'll be a completely different setup, you know, when I listen to the news again. I wish we could have unity in the... three countries, you know. I think it would make it very much easier for people to follow. You know, Scotland have got their rules, Wales have got their rules, we've got our rules. They vary even within the countries, let alone depending on which area you're in, let alone England, Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, you know. So, no wonder people are confused.
Yeah. Well, I think in Wales the other day there was... Because the way Welsh border and that and the English border are so close, there were some pubs in Wales the other day where the ones on the left-hand side of the road were Welsh and they couldn't open, but the ones on the right-hand side were English and they could open.
No, I know, it's silly, isn't it?
You know.
I mean, I don't care which rules you follow, whether you follow the Welsh example, the Scottish example, or the English example, I don't... But as long as we've got, like, clarity...
This is the problem, isn't it? There's too many U-turns, there's too many people who are saying such and such, there's too many scientists contradicting each other.
I mean, you read this morning, I was listening to Five Live this morning, and one news report said, you know, some scientists estimate that the virus is actually slowing down. You know, it's not as prevalent as it was.
Yeah, it's diluting.
The very next item, severe COVID infections in the northwest. Liverpool are just about to be put on a you know, even stricter regime. Yeah. Now, how you can't get more contradictory.
No,
than that.
It is just a mess. But so what you've done? Obviously, you've had your shopping delivered online.
Yes, we have. But we always did anyway for many years.
Have you had trouble getting a delivery time?
No, we've been extremely fortunate. Tesco, who we use a lot. They introduced what they call priority slots at the beginning of this. And if you booked, if you registered for it, you could get a priority slot. What it did mean is that you'd got a big time window for delivery. They might say your groceries will come between 10 and 4.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 4 and 10 o'clock at night. And you had to accept that, and you had to just be aware. But they would send you a message to say, you know, a bit of a tighter time.
Yeah.
But yes, we've been very fortunate, and the I must be full of praise for the Tesco delivery men.
Yeah.
Like I say, we've been having groceries delivered for, well, I don't know, 15, 18 years.
Yeah, since it started.
And they're brilliant, but they've employed more drivers, so you sometimes get someone that hasn't been before, but they've all been extremely good. We haven't had one problem. A guy came about a week ago, and we've been letting them leave it outside on the at the back door here.
Yeah.
Lining up against, because we've got an access ramp for the wheelchair. And they've been lining it up on the ramp, and Sue's been fetching it in. And we did say to one guy, because it was on the Tesco website, that the drivers would bring it in if you asked them to.
Yeah.
And we did say to this guy, would you mind bringing it in? And he said, well, no, I don't want to come in. And you can't argue with that.
No.
So we said, that's fine, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But for the last couple of weeks, they've been more than happy to bring it in and just put it in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose some have been saying no because they don't know if they're going to bring it in to you, do you? You know, I mean, they might bring the disease into you, the virus into you. You don't know what's going through people's minds, do you?
No, you don't. No.
So, or perhaps he just couldn't be arsed that day, but you never know. So.
But we've been extremely careful. I mean, when it first blew up in March and April, I mean... we didn't have.
Yeah, you sent me a message saying, keep the fuck away.
Yeah, shut up. I don't want you coming in with your big hands and your sweaty.
Sticking your cans in your crisps.
And we didn't have Sue's sister who comes and does stuff for us, you know. We didn't see her for about, 10 weeks, 11 weeks. But we managed it. We managed it. But we were very cautious and very careful. But you know, I don't know where we're going with it.
No, I don't. June, she keeps whittling and worrying about it, and I says, "What's going to be will be. That's the way it is." And
But it's just, you know, you just don't know where you're going. I mean, there's a friend of ours who lives in Nottingham, who we've known for years and years and years, and she was coming to see us, you know, to stay back in March, and that got cancelled.
Yeah.
And we said we'll see what happens, and now we're in October and we still don't know.
No, you don't know.
And
really,
she still can't really safely come.
Yeah,
you know, because she's got a husband and grown up children. You know, and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've come here today. I've sanitised my hands. I've wiped my laptop, my MacBook down, I've wiped the table down, I've wiped that thing down you're holding.
Yeah.
And that got, and then you think to yourself, well, how much can you do in the end before you know that?
Absolutely.
So, there you go. Yeah. So
we'll just have to see. As long as we can keep clear of it, you know.
Telly's shit and all, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah.
Telly's useless.
Not bothered about that in the slightest.
I just watch YouTube, to be fair, mate.
So. Have you ever seen Blue Van Man?
I have heard of the fat bastard.
He's a bit of a pillar.
Yeah, always shoving food in his gob. Yeah, but
he's all right.
I watched Robbie Knox last night. He's done the Mensa quiz.
Oh, yeah.
He's he is in the top 1%.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's what, really, a thicko?
No, he's the other way. He's really clever. So I know somebody who's in Mensa. So, right, mate, what I'm going to do, we're going to finish this off with a food review, because obviously... it wouldn't be a food review without us. So, what I've got here, mate, I've got some new Twix salted... Ah, you thought I'd get the crisps then, didn't you?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, I've got new individually wrapped salted caramel Twixes.
How am I going to do this one-handed?
I'll do is I'll pass it to you, right?
Because I'm holding the microphone.
Right, so then, you take one of them out of there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I should be
able to. Are you okay?
I reckon so.
The new. I don't know how new they are. I've had these quite a while in the cupboard waiting to be brought over here.
This will sound good on the mic.
It will, won't it?
It's
still
really,
recording.
Really lovely sound effect.
Yeah, but Elliot's going, fucking hell, what a noise.
Yeah, well, I feel for you, Elliot, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist myself, as we will come on to our other podcast.
Yeah.
This is your what? Another Twix?
It's a Twix, salted caramel.
Oh, okay.
Tastes like a Twix.
Mmm. Well, it's like there's something wrong with my taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
Oh no, I've got
I can't tell any different.
I've got a big taste of salt then.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be perfectly honest, it's just like a Twix to me.
It is just like a Twix, right? Yeah. There's no denying.
Hang on. We're having a break, are we?
You got some salt, didn't you?
All right.
It's like they've got the crystal salt, you know, like you get the big lumps of salt.
Mm.
It was like that.
Yeah. But not over salty.
No, it's not oversalty, is it?
No.
So what do you reckon?
Quite nice, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Just that odd little bit of salt gives it a little bit of difference.
I'd have that.
Mm. Would you want another one?
I'll get Susan to...
I'll take them out in there.
Adapt the Tesco order.
Mm. That's it.
I'll tell you what we ought to do one day.
Yeah.
When we're doing one of these, we ought to really go into how we use technology to help us.
Well, funny enough, I've actually got that down on BBM VIP too.
Mm.
So yes, we've got I've got that all sorted.
Because it's quite remarkable.
Mm. It is. It is.
It's quite remarkable.
It is remarkable how we do it. So what we'll do, mate? We'll finish this one here.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for doing my first podcast. That's and right. Thoroughly enjoyed it, because this is something that I want to do.
I hope people enjoyed it, listening to me babbling on it.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they will be. I think it's good to know into how somebody with a disability's life, you know, how they've got this far in life.
Mm.
I'll tell you what we will do, though. I'll get some beers from Beer Hawk, and we'll have a beer and review one of them. Don't forget, folks, you can use the code BBM10 for your 10% off when you do order from Beer Hawk.
Oh, and you can also use Uncle Steve 20 to get
20%. Now, there's one. Beer Hawk, are you watching that?
No, not really.
All right, and folks, we'll leave that one there. Thank you very much for listening and watching, and we'll be back.
Cheers, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.